Please pray with me. God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. We all know these words so well. This song, it was written by a man named John Newton. And he wrote the song Amazing Grace to describe his experience of being transformed and saved by God's grace. He had been the captain of a slave ship, and on one of the trips he took crossing the ocean toward home, the ship was caught in a violent storm. And as the storm tossed them from side to side and threatened to overturn the ship and drown everyone on board, Newton recognized the trouble and the tumult in his own life, and he asked for God's mercy. The ship came through the storm all right. Newton gave credit to God, and a slow transformation in his life began. It didn't happen overnight. In fact, it took decades. But Newton's faith from that moment grew and deepened and began to change him. He became an Anglican priest eventually, and yet still he was growing and changing, and still he was blind, until finally the moment came when he was made able to see. And what he saw was his own sin and the profound evil of slavery, and he finally ended his involvement in the slave trade, and later went on to advocate for the abolition of slavery. And he wrote, "It will always be a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in a business at which my heart now shudders." In the gospel reading for today, we hear another story of a man whose sight is changed. Blind from birth, the man is suddenly able to see. So for the first time, he sees the rich hues of the spices and fruits he had known only by their fragrance in the marketplace. He sees the deep greens of the olive green groves outside of town and the way the sky stretches out over the hills. He sees the calloused hands and sunburnt faces of those whose voices he had only known before, those who had dropped coins into his beggar's basket day after day. The funny thing is, this miracle of a man born blind being made to see, the miracle isn't the focus of the story. The whole thing happens within two verses with no fanfare, and then the rest of the story really is about all of the people around the blind man reacting to what has happened. And you know, not one person cracks open a bottle of wine to celebrate with him, or asks him if the light hurts his eyes, or what it was like to see his parents' faces for the first time. His healing upset the order of their world, and they didn't understand it. And so they spent their time trying to find an explanation that makes sense in the world as they saw it. As the story goes on, while his neighbors and the religious leaders and even his parents move through their world in suspicion and fear, the man who is brand new to seeing seems to be the only person who is open and able to see who Jesus is. His changed condition, his seeing differently, points out blindness in the community around him. So maybe that's why they get so upset with him and why he gets impatient with them. At first, he answers their questions good-naturedly and maybe even with excitement. I see him sort of bouncing on the soles of his feet and leaning forward as people say, aren't you the guy we used to give coins to? Aren't you the blind beggar? And he says, I know, I'm him. I am the man. And then as he tells them how it happened, I imagine him watching their faces to see for the first time what excitement and wonder and surprise looks like on a human face. But as they continue to question him, as his parents distance themselves from him out of fear, and the religious leaders summon him to a kind of trial, as his neighbors stand by to watch, and no one seems able to see the joy in his healing, he gets irritated almost, and he stops trying to give answers that will satisfy them, or answers he thinks they might understand. He begins to speak briefly and sharply, and even begins to poke fun at his interrogators. When the religious leaders summon him repeatedly and ask him again and again what Jesus did to heal him and what he knows about Jesus, he says, "You sure seem interested in this Jesus. Maybe you want to be his disciples too, huh?" And when they defend themselves and their questions, saying, "Well, we don't know where he came from," he replies, "Here is an astonishing thing. This man opened my eyes. And yet you who claim to be religious experts, you righteous men of wisdom, our spiritual guides, you do not know where he comes from. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Sometimes it's too tempting to see the villains, to see the Pharisees as the villains in the gospel stories, the guys in the black hats. But they were trying to be faithful. They just were so convinced that they knew how God worked. And they knew who the sinners were. And they knew that sinners can't perform miracles. And so what Jesus did and said in the healing of the blind man just did not fit what they know. They could not or would not see it because it challenged their idea of their place in the world and just broke open their model for how God works. So they threw the blind men out of the synagogue. They banished any sign that God might work outside of the boundaries they had kept for so long. Jesus hears that the blind man has been thrown out of the synagogue, and so he searches for him and finds him. And when he does, the blind man's eyes are opened again, when he comes to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. He sees that Jesus is the one for whom the people had been waiting for thousands of years. But they couldn't see when he was standing right in front of them, because he was not the kind of Messiah they expected, because they were afraid, and because accepting Jesus as the Messiah would upset the order of things. It would change things, and it would mean they must change too. When Jesus speaks of those who are blind being made to see and those who see being made blind, the Pharisees get it. They get the hint that he is talking about them, about the insiders, the righteous ones. And they pause for a moment. Surely we are not blind, are we? It's tempting to imagine the Pharisees as villains and to imagine that we are different than them. Surely we are not blind, are we? But are there ways we fail to see God and God's healing work when they do not fit with the way we understand the world? Are there people we see only as sinners and we cannot or will not see them as anything else? This Lenten journey, as we walk with Jesus, we are called to consider our own blindness. We're called to wash the mud from our eyes in the waters of baptism, to see differently. Following Jesus is an invitation to new life, and new life requires leaving the old life behind, and it's not always easy or simple. It upsets the order of things. It demands something of us. But we are not left alone in this journey. We walk it together and with all the body of Christ in the world. And day after day, we have the promise that God's amazing grace will find us and help us to see. And always on this journey, we can trust that grace will lead us home. Amen.